Blog Talk Radio. Hello, everybody. How's everybody doing this afternoon? I hope everybody is doing well. This is Cassie, and I am your host tonight on Blog Talk Radio. I have an amazing topic tonight, and we're going to talk about the new Black family. What does that look like today? So let's go, family. We just heard the song, Back Down Memory Lane. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to walk back down memory lane to understand first what that looks like. What did a healthy Black family look like? If we take a look at Black Wall Street, Black Wall Street was a place in Tulsa, Greenwood, in Oklahoma, Tulsa, Oklahoma, a place called Greenwood. They had their own businesses. They had their own banks, community, neighborhood, nothing like what they have today. They have their own everything. So let's take a look. When we talk about the neighborhood, we talk about family communities, we talk about being together, being one. Okay. Forgive me, Sammy. I'm still trying to see if I'm doing this right here. here. Hold on. You guys bear with me a little bit. I'm still, I think I'm being, can't hear me. I'm comments. Let me know if you guys can't hear me.
I think we needed more love. And that's what the Black family is missing today, the love. We need to give ourselves permission to care, permission to find each other again. And only when that happens can we unite. So we need to be there and depend more on one another. And I think that's what we're missing, not depending on each other. I think that homeschooling our children is something that's much needed. And because I think when we're teaching our children our history, we can begin to teach them what we have learned, or we can begin to teach them our history. And that's not what we're doing now. We're not teaching them our history. We've allowed our enemy to teach our children.
All righty, trying to see if I can get Brother Maurice on here. Brother Maurice, can you hear me? Apologize to the family, just trying to iron out some things here for myself. I do apologize here. Well, I'm going to just continue until we can get our brother on here. We were talking about Black Wall Street and how successful they were. And I believe that because we are worth $1.2 trillion, that we can do it again. But first, I think it's going to take us doing a mental wellness check, working some things out in us. And I think that we need to really concentrate on getting our mindset right, getting back to the basics of knowing who we are, who we are. And that's going to start with the adults and trickle down to the children, because first we have to get our mindsets right in order to teach our children truth. And I think a lot of lies have been passed down from generation to generation. And I think that a lot of what we thought we were doing or thought a lot of what we were taught was true and found out later that it wasn't. So now it's time for us to get back to the truth and really come into who we are and whose we are. And I think that is the problem right now. We are kind of getting it confused. We've been lied to so much about so many things that we don't really know what truth is today. And we need to understand what truth is. And a lot of the lies that was told, and we have to first free up our mind. And that's going to take some work, because being taught one way and understanding something totally different, it really does more harm than good. We were taught that we were nothing. We were taught that we didn't learn any of our history before slavery. And we did have a life before slavery. We just didn't. We just don't have a clue as far as what that looks like. And it is time for us to understand that we have always been powerful people. We have always been very powerful people. We were kings and queens in the beginning, and we're still powerful. We have to understand that. We have to know that by us taking back the power, we can raise up and become who we were supposed to be. I do believe in segregation. I do believe in total separation, because with the total separation, you become your own. You begin to find out who and whose you are, and you begin to retrain your thinking, because now, if the state that we're in now, if we talk about being black, we're called racist. If we talk about building ourselves up, we are called racist. If we talk about anything black, we're being racist. But the Chinese aren't told that when they talk about their history. The Jews aren't told that when they're talking about their history. And the Indians aren't told that when they're talking about their history. So now it is time for us to understand that we are important, and we can talk about our history without being racist. Yes, our history makes others feel uncomfortable. It makes us feel, you know, some of us, it makes us feel uncomfortable. But we have to get, we've got to get to the point where we're okay with us, and then we're okay with our skin. Some other people may not be okay with us being in our skin, but it's okay. We have to know that it is okay, and we're not racist if we talk about being black. That is the first thing as far as healing our heart and healing the hurt of years of being years of just being told that you're nothing can really hurt, do more harm, and it's done a lot of harm. And it's still taking us work even till today to get our mindset right and to get our mindset to the place where we feel like something. I want us to begin to know that it's okay to try. It's okay to yeah, you're going to make some people uncomfortable, but that's okay. That's something that they have to work out. And we also have to change. There is another city. It's called Mount Value, Mound Bio, and that's in Mississippi. And that city was, it was developed in 1887. And that was a city that Beggar Evers visited in 1952. That city had credit unions, insurance companies, hospitals, 5 newspapers, and a variety of black-owned businesses and black residents that ran that city. Just a kind of a thought to help us to understand that, yes, we can do this. Yes, we can have our own city, and yes, we can do this. But we have to get rid of fear. And I think right now we walk in a lot of fear, fear of dying, fear of, but we're dying anyway. You have to understand that we've been dying for doing absolutely nothing. So if we're going to die, let's die for changing our situation. Right now, we're not changing our situation. I think we forget about the family unit. And I keep talking about the disabilities because I want you to eventually look this up so that you can understand what's going on. We had the family unit in before 1970. We had, you remember when we had Grandpa and Grandma, Big Mom, and they were a family unit. And in 1970, welfare came. But the government didn't tell you that they were going to block our men from getting jobs. So they blocked our men from having jobs and unemployed our men and then introduced welfare to the women. So what did we do? We sucked up the welfare and we put our men out. So then what did we do? Our men left, couldn't get jobs, and now what we have now is the blame game. We play the blame game now. Well, you put us out, the men stay and the women stay when you left. So it's now the blame game. So now we have a little healing. And how do we heal that relationship? How do we heal that relationship that we have over so many years been taught to hate each other and we were put against each other intentionally, divided up our families? Then we had the prison, the crime bill of 1984 and the 1994 crime bill that put a lot of our men in jail also, in prison. So that also divided our families even more. So how do we heal that? Now we come down so that we see Becky have more of our men than we do. So I want to understand, how do we bring our men home and how do we heal that relationship? What's it going to take? What's it going to take for us to heal the family? So is it going to take an apology? If that's what it's going to take, then I will be the one to stand in the gap and apologize to our men. I will be the one that apologizes and say that, men, I do apologize. As being a woman and I'm standing in for the women, and I will be the one to apologize and say, we do apologize for taking the bait. And that's literally what we did. We did the bait. We took the bait as far as them separating us from our families, and we took the bait, and we do apologize for that. We apologize for not waiting and holding on and just pushing you out the door in fear. Mind you, we had families to take care of, but we saw that how they were doing as far as unemployment, and we, you know, we allowed fear to step in, and that's what we did. So if that's what it's going to take, but we also have to understand that by us doing what we did, we have allowed Becky to take advantage and to kind of move in on our territory. And not only Becky, but now we're fighting the LGBT LMNOP group also. Okay, so we have to understand what's really going on, what's the bigger picture here. Everything has been done to us intentionally, and this is why you see the drug opiates, the overdoses, and all of this stuff, because when they dropped the drugs in our neighborhood in 70s, they opened the door up for them to reap what they've sown on us. So this, the drug opiate, what we see now is what we've seen from the past. just need to help us understand that it is okay for us to allow the healing and to get away from the anger. I listen to a lot of programs, and I hear a lot of the anger. I hear a lot of the anger, and the anger is the result of rejection, and we are dealing with that rejection spirit throughout the Black community. I think we have got to think about and know about and read about that Willie Lynch syndrome, okay, that Willie Lynch letter. If you pull that up, you would understand really the bigger picture and what they really were trying to do and what really happened to the Black community and the Black family. They really did divide us. I think about Adam and Eve, and I think about how, you know, a whole lot happened as far as for eating at the fruit, the forbidden fruit. Can you imagine being told not to eat something and you eat it, and now you've changed the whole society? So instead of you living one way, you have to live another way. I think about the blame game as far as slavery, when Master came in and stole the baby from out of a woman's arms, and the man sat there and looked and couldn't do anything about it. So I think about how he must have felt, knowing that if I move, I'm going to die, and if I don't, my wife is not going to respect me, but I'll still be alive, but not understanding that that night when that baby got taken, he died anyway. So this is really, it's just really a mess, okay? But it's going to be up to us to fix it. If we don't fix it, it'll never be fixed. If anybody has any questions or comments, please feel free to call in. Please feel free to share. I'm still trying to get my partner on here. I can't seem to do it, but that's okay. Okay. Trying to see. So I don't want to be on here talking by myself. So if anybody has anything to say, feel free to call in. So how do we heal that relationship? What do we do about healing that relationship? I think it's going to take the women coming to terms with their issues, and I think it's going to, we have to come to terms to get to the point where we forgive one another in order to heal, to move forward. It's not going to happen overnight. It's not going to happen overnight. It's going to take time, and we know that. But it's going to take us actively doing it, actively going after repairing our relationship and actually repairing, really getting to the place where not only do we heal ourselves, but we also begin the process of healing our children. We've done a lot of damage to our children by leaving the family, dividing the family, but it was done for us intentionally, and that's the sad part about it, because a lot of this was done to us intentionally, and that part is what hurts, because we thought that they were our friends, and then we found out that they were not. That is the hardest thing to understand, when you think that you have a friend and then you find out that you don't. That you find out that that very friend that you thought was your friend was actually a hidden enemy. And that is what, that's the hurt right there. We were fooled into believing that we had a friend, and that friend turned out to be a foe. This is why we have to have that discernment to be able to recognize if a person is actually a friend or a foe. And this is what it's going to take. So we have to get to the place where, as far as our children, we need to take our children away from our enemies. We've allowed them to put a lot of poison in our children's mind, but that poison that we allowed, we have allowed them to do a lot of damage for a lot of years. And that is part of the curse that we face. And I know we'll talk more about that later. But now that we're waking up, and we're seeing things a little different, now we have to begin to teach our children ourselves about who and who they are and how mighty and powerful that they are. And a lot of things that's being done in society, we have to understand that we cannot do what other cultures are doing. We have a certain way of life, and we have to stick to that certain way of life. We don't learn other people's ways, and you know that their ways are going against Yah. We know how to live. We know what we should and shouldn't be doing. We know from right and wrong, and we have to stick to what we know and do what we were, you know, what we know to do, because we are the only, we're going to be held accountable for not teaching our children and not and doing stuff that we know we shouldn't be doing. So my question again, how do we fix the problem? How do we heal the black community, the black family, the black woman? How do we do this? So what is it? What are we supposed to be doing different? How do we fix this? We know that we're worth $1.2 trillion. I don't think we understand how powerful that we are. I don't think that we understand how much power we have. I wrote a book, and the book is called A Mother's Love, and you can get it on Amazon. And it talks a little bit about the family unit. It talks about just what the title is, A Mother's Love, and what happens when we don't have it. But I really believe that we have to have both the mom and the dad. And I don't know whoever told us that we only needed one or we could do it with one. But I think we were hoodwinked when we tried to do it as one. And we could look around now and see the results 20 years later of us trying to do it, doing it singly. We have a mess. I think little boys need their dad. I think just by us cutting the men out of the picture totally, we have low-loss boys. And we can't teach boys how to be men because we're not men. I heard a story once that was talking about the elephants and how all the male elephants were killed off, and the little baby elephants that were males began to grow up, and they were like gangsters, okay? They were, you know, killing up the other animals. And scientists began to go in to find out what was going on because they saw this problem, and they began to try to dig deep to see what was going on, what was happening in that community. But that, you know, that animal world, that those elephant, baby elephants that were mauling every, you know, all the other animals, and they found out that because all of the male elephants had been killed, that nobody was teaching the boys. Nobody was teaching the male elephants how to be men or how to be, you know, how they needed to be. So without that training, they began to get into gangs and they began to start killing and murdering the other groups. Now, does that sound familiar? Okay. Without the men in our homes and the men in our lives and the men in our family, without their supervision, without their teaching and training of our boys, we have gang members. We have wild children now that are off the chain. No respect for women, no respect for men, no respect because they're angry at the women for being there and they're angry at the men for not. So I think it starts with us women marrying and not having baby mamas. We're not baby mamas anymore. And men making that commitment again to be married instead of being baby daddies, okay? It is time for us to really watch and see who and make better choices as far as the men that we hook up with or marry, okay? We have to be more careful as far as pick and choosing, and that's men and women. We don't just sleep with somebody at first date. I've seen a post on Facebook that said, you know, showed an image of very hot and heated, you know, making out. And the thing said, do we stop it? And I said, yes. I said, don't even get it to that point. If you have a first date, you don't just up and sleep with somebody on a first date. You get to know that person because how do you know that if that is somebody that you're going to want to, you know, have a family with or that's going to be somebody that you really don't even like as a person. But if you have sex with that person, you've kind of really tainted that. You really don't know and understand that person's personality. So you kind of blinded going into a relationship. If the first thing you do is have sex, you're going to be blinded until, what, a year later, 2 years later, then you're going to see, oh, my God, I don't even like this person as a person. And here I am pregnant by this person and have kids with this person. So I think the sex is out. I think we get to know each other and be friends first. And this is what I told my daughter. She was going into freshman in college, high school, and she wanted to start dating. And I said, no. I said, let's do that next year, which is sophomore year. And she was like, why? I said, I want you to get to know these little boys first. I want you to get to know somebody before you call them your boyfriend. Get to know them as a person to see if you really like them as a person. You may not even like them as a person, and then here you are dating them. Excuse me. Get to know them as people first, and then you might like them enough to date them. But using that advice, my daughter began to use the advice, and she began to become friends with one person, and then a couple weeks later, I said, "What happened to Bobby?" And she goes, "Oh, I didn't like Bobby," and that advice worked for her. She began to become friends, and then afterwards, then she would date them. But it took her being friends first, and I think that's what we need to do with any relationship, become friends first in order to know if that's somebody you even want to be married to. So I think we have to pick and choose better mates. She had one friend that was hearing things, and I'm not trying to say anything about psychosis or whatever. I'm not a doctor. But that worried me because I was very concerned about that. The conversation was, sometimes – until certain issues are handled, you can't date certain people. And I think if you're dating or if you're attracting the wrong type of man right now, like I'm speaking to you, I think you should back up and pretty much kind of pick and choose your people better. I think you should really understand what's really going on with the inside of you. If you're picking a person that you is the wrong type of mate, then I would suggest you see what's going on with you in order to pick and choose a better mate, a different mate. I think sometimes we need a wellness check, and that will help us. For instance, if you have grown up with an alcoholic parent or drug abuse parent, I think that is what you're going to draw to yourself. I think we have to understand what within our household and how to attract a better mate. And I think sometimes that's going to take you stepping back and doing an evaluation to see what type of men you've been dating so far. And that might mean if they're abusive or they're drugs or you're attracting alcoholics or drug abusers or drug dealers, then I think you need a wellness check. We'll talk more about that. I'm going to have a link on talking about the wellness check and talking about individuals that need a wellness check. I think that is something that we need to really be aware of, and that's the type of men that we're attracting to ourselves. Because if you lived in an abusive family, you're pretty much going to choose an abusive mate. If you choose, if you have positive male figures in your life, women, you'll probably choose a better mate. Now, sometimes people have had their fathers in the home, and they still turn out and pick bad mates. Okay, then that right there is just a different story. That right there is just something else going on with that person. And you have to really evaluate to see what is going on with you. If you had a great father and a great mom and your house was great, but you still picking creeps, then I think it's something really going on with you. Not to be, you know, meaning anything personal, but I'm just saying that, you know, sometimes we do need a wellness check. But I think overall, I think that it's going to take us, you know, just apologizing and being there for one another and just doing something totally new. We've done things wrong in the past, and now it's time to correct that behavior. And it's going to take us, and it's going to be up to us if we do it or not. So we can't do this without help. So, I think it's going to take us pretty much it's not going to be something that's going to happen overnight. It's going to take time. But I do believe that we can do this, and we would just have to, it's going to take work, but we have to be willing to do the work. So we have to ask, are we willing to do the work? Like I said, if anybody has any questions or comments, I'd love to get you in on the conversation. And we're going to be here every Thursday at 7 o'clock. Next Thursday, we're in for a treat. We're going to talk about police brutality and give you some ways and reasons on what we need to do about that and how we need to handle that. It's going to be an interesting show, so hopefully you guys will share. Hopefully you guys will be here with me so that we can talk about it. We're going to also have on in a couple of weeks we're going to have a therapist on, Dr. Keisha Saunders, and an amazing woman, and she's going to be on talking about mental wellness. She's going to also talk about relationships. So we're going to have her on a couple of times and to share some things with us. I think you're going to enjoy just hanging there with me. I know today just over, you know, a little weird, but hopefully it'll get better. So I'm going to hope that you're going to enjoy her. I think you guys will enjoy her. Hopefully. This is really interesting, and I had fun. Hope you guys did. Hope you guys come back and talk, you know, hang out a little bit more with me next time. And hopefully next time we'll do a little bit better. We'll get it together, and we'll, each time we get better and better at this. I'm learning this, you know, this is something new and something different. So with that said, we're going to end this show with our theme music. And I just want you guys to think about what we talked about a little bit and kind of, you know, see your part in all of this and what it is that we need to do. If this is something that you would, you know, if it's something that needs to happen, or if we feel that we can do it. Because not saying that we're going to get it today. We may not. But I think it's going to take us doing the work. And it's going to take us doing the work. And if we don't do the work, then nothing will change. So we have to do what we need to do.